This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Australia's best titbit.
Without the tits.
Catching up on Joy 94.9.
Become a Joy member so we can give you the best shows every day.
The world's most uplifting station.
Call 1300 Joy 949.
Joy 94.9.
And now on Joy 94.9, it's time for Catching Up with your hosts, Dolly Adamson, Brett Scriber, and Jamie Lewis.
Well, hello there. Welcome along to Catching Up on Joy with Dolly and Brett. Nice to have you here.
Hello, Dolly, my darling. How are you?
Is there anyone out there?
Why do you say that?
Do you see dead people?
Because we're catching up on spooky.
It's all spooky, isn't it, darling?
It is a little spooky.
Oh, I'm excited. Are you excited?
I am absolutely excited tonight. Mm-hmm. What's on the show tonight, doll?
Well, spooky stuff, darling.
Yes?
We've got you're going to talk about that spooky show. What's it called?
It is the fabulous American Horror Story, and this is the second season now, Asylum.
Yes, I'm looking forward fabulous. To that, and I'm maybe going to talk about the Lunatic Asylum.
Oh, yes.
At Arendelle.
Yes.
Did you know that there's one there, sweetheart?
I did not know that.
Look, listen and learn, darling. You're going to be spookily educated tonight. We've also got a lovely Jackie. She's from Lantern Ghost Tours.
Ooh.
She's our guest tonight.
She's our very special guest. Hey, yes. What is coming up on the news? Because I'm going to talk a little bit later about the Disco Appreciation Society.
Yes, that's right.
Because what do we play here always, my dear?
Well, a little bit of disco, a little bit of funk, a little bit of, you know, doo-wop, doo-wop. Doo-wop, doo-wop.
Oh, yes.
And in fact, our first song, sweetheart's going to be a little doo-wop song. And this is from Clary Brown and the Banging Rackets.
Yes, and who
She's
are they, my
She's a local band,
dear?
Darling. Local, sweetie.
Yes.
She's an Australian nine-piecer. Soul,
right.
Rhythm and blues, pop, doo-wop and jumpy blues, I think they call it, darling. Anyway, this is her new song, sweetheart.
Yes.
It's called Walk of Shame.
Oh, fabulous. And you're on Catching Up on Joy 94.9.
I tiptoed from your door. Not before I put my clothes from the floor.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, the Walk of Shame with Clary Brown and the Banging Rackets. You're on Catching Up on Joy 94.9 with Dolly and Brett. No Jamie tonight, though, sweetheart. No.
Yes. Well, she's somewhere in Los Angeles, I think.
Yes. Anyway, she's up high in the
from
sky.
From LA to New York to New York to LA.
To
another
LA.
Beautiful
hey,
disco
hey.
Song.
Hey, hey, hey. So, Clary Brown and the Banging Rackets.
Yes.
Did you like her?
I loved her. She's fabulous.
Local girl, nine-piecer, as I said. Now, we're putting all our songs up on our webpage, aren't we, darling?
Yes, and that's obviously Catching Up on Joy.
Yes, on our Facebook page, is that right,
Facebook,
sweetie?
Yes. Because we only play disco and funk, and obviously we like having a few Australian artists thrown in
that's
as
right.
well.
Mm. Well, Jamie likes to pop in a couple of little dub ones every now and then, doesn't he, just quietly? What did we have True by Spender Ballet last week?
Yeah.
Well, you just keep him happy. Nothing wrong with that, sweetheart.
It's very difficult. He's very difficult, darling.
Oh, he's a one, isn't he, sweetheart? So the Disco Appreciation
yes.
Society.
So
who are they?
I caught up on the weekend with my fabulous old boss who now works in Singapore and he was here visiting Melbourne. Mm. And he's got a very dear friend, Moira.
Moira.
And Moira, darling, was telling me about the fabulous Disco Appreciation Society. And I said, who is this Disco Appreciation Society? And it's a club or a page
yes.
on Facebook. Mm. You can apply to become a member if you're into disco. The wonderful Wes manages the page.
Yes.
And all the members are posting really way out. I mean, some of the well-known disco hits of the 70s and the early 80s, but then you get some beautiful little nuggets that just pop up.
Kind of like the ones we play here, darling, on our show.
I think we're definitely on the same
page. A little bit of Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Would they be popping that one up
look,
on their
I think
disco appreciation?
I think Discotex and the Sexolettes.
Definitely. Get dancing with you.
any type of Edward Starr, yeah. Chic.
Right. Okay, so our friend requested
Niles Rodgers, absolutely.
I'm hoping they're going to accept me, personally.
I hope so as well. Should I put in a good word for
Never
the
really
Wes?
No, do you?
No.
Now, flatmates, darling.
Oh, yes.
You're talking Moira. She wasn't a flatmate, but
no.
You had some others. Is that right, darling? You had a houseful.
We've had a houseful for the
Goodness
last 2 weeks. We've had one group of guests came,
mm-hmm.
and then they left, and then a day later, another group.
Swamped in. You shouldn't have left the door open,
darling. This is what happens when you're too hospitable, Dolly.
One must always lock the door, darling, and hide in the bathroom. Hasn't anyone ever taught you that?
Look, it has been really lovely having everyone stay. It has been because...
Yeah, it's always nice for the company.
But
always nice to see them go.
But it's been very quiet now, and I'm really tired because even when they're easy guests, which
tired
they were...
Tired mentally, darling? What do you mean easy
guests? Oh,
guest
because
darling?
You have to make sure everyone's having a nice time. There's wine in the fridge, there's food on the table,
it's
there's clean towels.
Go, go, go.
Yes,
but which job did you do, darling, and which jobs did you let them do? That's always the problem I find.
Oh, see, I'm one of those hosts that...
You have to do everything.
Yeah.
Like a control freak.
Are you saying something, Dolly?
No, I'm just saying perhaps you might be like one when it comes to that, sweetheart, darling. Three-day rule.
Two for two and two for two.
Three-day rule, darling, though, with guests, don't you know, they go off like fish after 3 days.
Well, no. These were beautiful guests. These were my
partners.
Oh,
look, whatever, they're listening. Okay, we like that. That's good. We need more people
fabulous.
To listen.
And there you go.
But there is a three-day rule, darling. I have lost a friend or two or three over overstaying my welcome.
Okay, all right.
Yes.
Well, I have to be honest with you. These are beautiful guests. And they can
still
come
friends?
Back at any time.
Are they
Absolutely.
Still friends?
Absolutely. And if they're listening tonight, all the good.
Good on them. Don't bother coming back too soon.
What else?
You've Piss
got,
off.
You've got your lovely note. You've got your lovely notebook. What's with all your scratches
well,
and scratches?
I just can't read my writing, that's all, darling.
All right.
Well, I was going to talk about Impossible. I've seen where we are catching up, aren't we, darling, in a spooky sort of a way.
Now, this is... I love your Dame Edna, by
yes,
the way.
Yes, thank you.
This is the tsunami film, isn't it?
The tsunami.
Yes.
2004 that was. It just felt like yesterday that we were waking up on Boxing Day to that hideous tragedy.
It was awful.
And someone asked me how many people drowned again. And I said, oh, it was about 7,000. That's why you should never really ask me any of those facts and figures because it was actually 240,000 people in 14 countries got swept away.
Almost a quarter of a million people died because of the tsunami. How sad.
Hideous. But the Impossible film is fabulous. So it's obviously, you know, what do you call it? Those little catastrophic films that you like, darling, isn't it?
Well, it's
catastrophe
not really
film,
a disaster
film.
Really?
Oh, disaster film like The Towering Inferno.
It's more of a... Because this is based on a real-life family who...
Yes, a Spanish family,
yes.
darling, who were clinging on to the palm trees. And they all got lost and then they all found each other again. Fabulous film.
Oh, my God.
Catching up with me, that's what I did. Did you get out, darling?
No, I haven't because we've been entertaining.
Yes.
But we are going to see Django Unchained this Friday night.
Right.
Because I've got these free movie tickets and I've gone, best use them.
You
all,
must use those,
they're going.
Sweetheart. You must use
them. Hey, but tonight...
Taffy Turner.
Tonight's all about catching up on Spooky or catching up with Spooky.
Mm.
And you found a wonderful little gem by the fabulous Mo Gaffney. Now, who's Mo Gaffney again?
Well, she's a comedian, darling, and she did a bit of bit for Absolutely Fabulous, but she was in the Ruby Wax show playing the intrepid reporter Taffy Turner, and she infiltrates like a psychic medium, and this psychic medium gets possessed by none other than There's No Business Like Show Business lady, Ethel Merman.
Oh, look, I think you're listening to Joy 94.9. Let's have a little listen to Taffy Turner, Inside America.
This is Taffy Turner, Inside America. And as they say in America, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Was Doris Day a psychic? I think not. So join me now on my peek into the future. Oh, and by the way, I predict this will be a fascinating show. Let's go.
Now, Ethel Reed is a very unusual name. How did you get that name? Where's it from? Is it a family name?
Well, my parents were actually, had met at one time Ethel Merman.
Oh, I see.
And so she became a friend of our family's.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was named after her. At times, I can feel her in me. I can feel her, but she's passed on now.
Yes.
And I can feel her in me.
Could you call her?
Well, I really don't like to do that because it's not something that I call her. It's something that she embodies me.
Right.
And
but we'd love to have her here and have her sing.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay, thank you so much. Ethel Merman, please come to us. There's no business like show business. Please come. Merman, please come. Ethel, please come. There's no business. Mm. You know everything about a business. Mm. Come. Please come.
Mmm. Ma. Hello, Taffy.
Joy 94.9.
You're catching up on Joy 94.9 with Dolly and Brett. I Can't Get Next to You by The Temptations.
Oh my God. Ow. Love The Temptations.
They're fabulous, aren't they, darling? And of course, they were famous for My Girl.
Yes, so that's The Temptations I remember more of, the Motown. More of the, that whole Motown sugar kind of pie, feeling. Honey yeah. bunch, like all yeah. of that.
Get Ready.
Yeah, oh, Get Ready's awesome.
Ain't Too Proud to Beg.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, that little number came out, wasn't it? 1969, Sweetheart, I'll tell you what.
Oh, my God.
They were on top of it then, weren't they, Sweetheart?
They were so, I have to say, like Motown and that whole... what was predominantly black music was so far ahead of what everyone else was doing.
Oh, yes, darling.
Because there was that whole, like, rock stuff, oh, like, or the whole...
You really listened to all that, did
just,
you?
It wasn't really my cup of tea.
It's our cup of tea, wasn't it?
No,
and that's obvious, let's face it. Darling, it's we're talking spooky.
It's catching up on spooky.
Yes. And we're going to get another spooky girl in soon.
Oh, yes?
Yes.
Now, that's the fabulous Jackie from Lantern Ghost Tours who'll be in later on tonight.
Yes, she's going to talk about her sightings.
But we're going to talk about a TV show. Now, we don't normally do horror because we normally leave that to Sci-Fi and Squeam.
Sci-Fi Squeam, yes.
But we decided to talk about spooky, and one of my favourite shows at the moment is The American Horror Story.
Mm.
Now, Dolly, did you see the first season?
Darling, I saw bits of the first season. Yeah.
Okay.
It was the first season wasn't... I think the second season's better. Do you reckon? It's completely different, isn't it?
What I like about it... Mm. Now, American Horror Story is based by Mr. Murphy and Falchuk. Now, Murphy has done Glee and Nip Tuck.
Right.
So... And Falchuk has been in... I've gone blank. Anyway, basically, what they've done is... The first season centered about a haunted house, basically.
Mm.
But the great thing is the same actors are in the second season, but as completely different.
Completely different storyline, isn't it, darling?
Different storyline. This is all based in an asylum.
Yes.
Whereas the first season was all set in like...
In like, the haunted house.
In like current day Los Angeles. Mm. The Asylum begins in 1964 at the Briarcliff Mental Institution.
Yes.
And it follows the stories, patients and doctors and nuns who occupy it. And then obviously they mix up the events of what was happening today and what happened in 1964. And I just want to play a little bit of a promo about it to get a good feel of the show.
Lovely.
Please, Doctor, you must tell me, what are these creatures?
All in good time.
You're a murderer!
It is 1964, for God's sake, an exorcist.
Times may have changed, Doctor, but the nature of evil has not.
We have a problem.
The little Suffolk reporter?
I have an excellent memory.
Yeah? We'll see about that.
You're right. She is a noisy one.
Help!
You're mistaken if you think that by making me an accomplice to this, I won't report what I've seen here.
Do you ever dream of escaping?
There is no way out.
There's a big storm heading our way.
This is our chance.
And when it hits, half of you are going to be too afraid to move.
Where do you think you're going?
Rest up, dear. You're going under the knife in the morning. You'll need your strength.
American Horror Story, Asylum.
Oh,
wow.
It's spooky.
It's a bit gory too, isn't it?
Look, it is so gory in scenes, and it's quite shocking, I actually find, in some scenes, and you're really fighting. There's some characters like, oh no, don't do that.
Mm.
And it all sort of happens. Now, some of the stars, and this is what I really like about it, they've chosen some great actors and actresses.
Yes.
Zachary Quinto, who's an openly gay actor who played a gay character in the first season plays a doctor, quite a twisted doctor in this season. Joseph Fiennes plays the Monsignor who runs the show. The fabulous Jessica Lange.
Oh, well, that's the only reason to watch it, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Of her. She's just so amazing. And she plays a Sister Jude, or Judy Martin. Mm. And look, Chloe Savini now, does a little
yes,
guest
now Chloe
cameo.
Savini, we did her little trans, because she was in the transsexual movie.
Yes.
Or transsexual TV series.
Yes.
So where she plays a killer.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
She's
a bit of a weird character she's got down, isn't it? Well, she loses her legs, doesn't it, sweetheart?
Yeah.
It's not a bit nice.
But what I love about this is an old-fashioned horror story. Mm. Like, this is, it does, like, you have to look away. It scares you. You don't know what happens next. But the characters and the stories, how they all intertwine, it's really well written. And it's quite interesting because, you know, Murphy has done a lot of Glee. And when you see Glee, it's all about singing and dancing at school.
Mm-hmm.
High School Musical, basically, for the gays. And obviously he did Nip Tuck as well. Did you ever watch Nip Tuck?
No, darling, not my thing.
I love Nip Tuck. Mm. The last season, I think, was a real letdown. And it sort of went off the rails for a bit because that's when the writers' strike was happening in Los Angeles. So there was this one sort of patched together rather badly season. But I really like how they've come together. So they've really been inspired by, like, the Sharon Tate murders, that whole gory side. And I like that Murphy talks about in times of, and I like this quote that he said, in times of economic anxiety, if you look at the template, two genres flourish, the horror and the musical. And I think people want to either be scared or completely forget about their troubles. So I really like that idea of how he's, and because he's done it so well, he's done this amazing musical Glee. I mean, I think that's gone off the rails now, personally. But he's really reinvented the horror story. I love it.
I think the fact that it's set in an asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get more spooky than that.
Oh, my God.
Really. I mean, the horrors that they inflicted on those poor people. What about the conversion scene where the doctor's trying to convert the lesbian from being a lesbian?
It's pretty graphic and it's really... And the thing of it is, Dolly, it's set in 1964.
That they've got a lesbian couple. But that is just a part of the times that they, you know, they weren't allowed to be lesbians, so that, you know, they had to try and convert them. I'd like to know, were lesbians actually put into the institutions then?
Well, I can tell you for a fact that there was, unfortunately, there were experiments done. They tried to use lobotomy.
Oh, for the gays.
To convert the gays. Yeah. But as they found out that when you had the operation, you just became a vegetable. So they realised it didn't work. And thankfully, we live in far more enlightened times. And it's quite interesting. This is quite a, like, it's a very dark show. Mm. But what I found interesting is Murphy just can't help a song and dance. And I'm going to play another thing. Now, this is so random. This is not what the show's about at all, but I have to play it because we're quite camp here on Catching Up.
Yes.
And there's this scene that breaks out with the Jessica Lange character, and she just breaks out a song. I'm not going to ruin it how, but this is fabulous song.
Jessica
and I'm just
Lange
going to play
breaks
it
out
now.
A song,
she breaks out a song, and it's a
is
song.
This is her singing?
This is her singing, and it's a song from the 60s called The Name Game, and it's been updated to suit the show, and you're enjoying 94.9.
The Name Game. Judy, 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 Bo Booty, Banana, Fana, Fo Foodie, Fee, Fi, Mo Moody. Judy. Fofana, Fifa, Momana, Lana. Come on, everybody. I say, now let's play a game. I bet you I can make a rhyme. Out of anybody's name. The first letter of the...
Listen to us right around the nation. Joy 94.9.
You're on Catching Up on Joy 94.9 with Dolly, Brett, and...
Yes.
Who have we got coming in at the moment?
Oh,
someone spooky, the lovely Jackie, haven't we?
I know. And Jackie, this song's just for you to get us in the mood tonight.
Who are you going
to
call? I'll give it some volume. Here we go. Got Jackie coming in the room. All the way from Lantern Ghost Tours. She's going to do some ghost busting. There's a few ghosts here. Well, there's probably lots of moths, really, in the studio,
I think,
darling.
There is,
there's not many ghosts, do you think?
Jackie, welcome to Joy.
Welcome
How are you?
Sweetheart.
It's a pleasure to be here. I forgot my proton pack, I'm afraid.
Oh, my goodness. So tell us a little bit about the tours. Is there anywhere particular you go to? Do you get to choose the tours or do you have a range? What's happening?
Oh, gosh, we go all over the place. We've got regular public tours that we go to in Melbourne, Williamstown, Altona, Point Cook, and the J Ward Lunatic Asylum.
Oh my God.
Yes, now that's an Arrowdale, isn't it, darling?
Hang on, I just want to get back. Yes. Point Cook, isn't that a new housing estate?
Well, that's like,
it is, but right at the end, at the end of the housing estate, it's a very old building. Point Cook Homestead, built in the 1850s.
Yeah.
No one knows it's there. And recently, the owners complained to me because the water was cut off. Some of the builders had forgot they're at the end of the street and just said, oh, there's no one living there.
Yeah.
Water went off.
Oh my God.
It wasn't the ghost, it was actually the builders that cut off the water.
No, it was the builders that time.
Okay, <good. laughs> You can blame the ghost though, can't you, darling? So, darling, J Ward, now that grabbed my attention because I've got a couple of little tickets to go to the little ghost tours up at Arrowdale, darling. That
Arrowdale.
Spooky little town.
Fabulous.
Which is just near Ballarat, kind of, in a spooky sort of a way.
Yes.
That's right.
Now, J Ward is what? It was part of the lunatic asylum, or what's the go?
Well, Ararat's a very scary place. Yep. It's a tiny town, but they have the Arrowdale Lunatic Asylum for the insane.
Yeah.
Then they've got the J Ward Lunatic Asylum for the criminally insane.
Yes.
Oh,
so you can
goodness.
Choose your scare level, I guess. We run the tours at the J Ward Lunatic Asylum. We stay overnight sometimes. But the scariest thing is they also have an operational jail there. So, you know, it's a lot of strange buildings in a tiny town.
Is the jail still operate there, does it?
They have got a jail that still operates.
Right, but that J Ward isn't a part of that anymore.
No, that was for the criminally insane, and that's closed down now.
That's
it's a museum.
Down. Now, around 13,000 people passed away in that area, in that actual construction, didn't it, over 130 years. It's only just been closed down,
really?
Like 1996 or something,
that's
wasn't it?
That's right. They closed it down, popped them all out onto the streets and...
Popped them all into Melbourne, didn't they?
They
popped them on the bus.
Exactly. Well, maybe here in the studio, I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sure a lot of them came in. But the psychiatric treatment changed, didn't it, darling? So, you know, they got them off the table, basically, and started talking to them, I guess, in a spooky sort of a way.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to know, because I've got a few questions about spirits and like, how do you know when your house is haunted? Like how do you know when there's spirits or something inhabiting, something supernatural, I should say?
You haven't had anything happen in your house, darling.
No.
You just said you had a few flatmates.
I've had some funny flatmates. But no, I've lived in a couple of older houses in my time, but I always put it down to old timber floorboards or possums in the roof. Or
you're a skeptic, is that what you're saying?
I'm a bit of a skeptic.
Oh,
I want to be sold, Jackie.
Come on.
Well, I guess at a basic level, it's the energy. Usually you can walk into a place, you just pick up on the energy. Even if it's not haunted, you just know if something bad's happened in that room.
But there's a lot of Deadwood people, full stop, don't you think?
Living and dead,
that's
exactly.
That's what I mean.
But a lot of the time people have the basic stereotypical things, lights going on and off, you know, plumbing playing up. I'm talking about the house here, not the people.
Yeah.
You know, strange footsteps, lights, that's at a very basic level. But I do get a lot of reports from people who'd see full-blown apparitions.
Mm. Yeah.
And when you repeatedly have the same apparition over and over seen by different people, that's when you know you've got something paranormal occurring.
Yeah.
For example, I lived in a haunted house 5 years ago and I kept seeing a little girl in the house. And, you know, for a while I dismissed that. I thought maybe I'm watching too much American horror. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But then my friend stayed over, saw the same little girl. My mother stayed over, saw the same girl. Lights started going on and off. And I started to get woken up by this apparition. So I think when people live in a haunted house, it's pretty clear.
It's pretty
obvious.
It's not the plumbing. Oh, well, tell us more about
that. So when you say you saw a little girl, did you see like the shadow or an actual, like you actually thought it was someone there, then blinked and
then they
were gone?
I thought it was someone there. Yeah, a full-blown little girl just standing there staring at me.
Yeah.
And it was pretty unnerving when she wouldn't respond back when I was talking to her.
So why do they wake you up in the night for, darling? Why can't you see them in the daytime?
I know, it's a shame.
What's
that
about?
No, spirits are around us all the time. My personal theory is our senses are heightened at nighttime.
Yep.
Because everything's darker, you know?
Yeah.
All of a sudden your hearing's on high alert, your eyesight
is
alert.
So it has to be
kind
of a thing. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, even right now I notice there's a lot of glass around us. It's quite dark in that corner behind you, Dolly.
Yes. Oh,
and I've been wondering whether or not Yes, exactly.
Really?
Yeah, but in all honesty, radio waves and television waves yes. actually do attract spirits as well. They don't have their own energy source. And I've had a lot of people tell me that they have increased activity around radio stations.
Wow. And this is an old building. This is built in the 30s for, I think, the Commonwealth Bank.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there's going to be a bit of a history. That's almost...
I've got a boring bank teller behind me, haven't I? I'll look into
it. You had someone who died in the vault or something.
It's me, I'm moving.
It's quite funny. One of Dolly's favourite actresses is Joanna Lumley, and I remember seeing her on a talk show a few years ago, and she talked about one of the houses she rented in London that she felt she went downstairs into either the cellar or in one of the, like, you know how they have the terraces with the basement flats. And she went downstairs and she actually felt like a rush of wind, and it was almost, she described it as someone was screaming in her face. And all these things occurred, and they lived there for a few months, and in the end, they just couldn't live there anymore. They said the disturbances, lights going on and off, slamming doors, they couldn't sleep. So she went downstairs one day and she said, "We're leaving." Because she's had enough. And then she said she could smell roses. So they wanted her to get out. And I've always sort of questioned that because I don't think she's potty. I think she's quite compos mentis. So there must have been some sort of... Well, but it's very hard not to...
If we could go back to Jackie's 5-year-old sighting.
Yes.
No, I'm fascinated by
I'm just wondering, did you tell the little 5-year-old to get out or did you get out? What happened?
I said, get out. You're not welcome. Go away. It took a few days.
Now, darling, were you a believer before this happened?
I have to say I was a skeptic.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
But I guess I wasn't a proper skeptic, otherwise I wouldn't have started hunting the paranormal, you know?
But you saw the 5-year-old before you were a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it kind of, you know, probably put you into that direction. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And now that I've started the tours, I just expose myself to more haunted locations. It's happening more and more often that without a shadow of a doubt, I know there's something else here with us. It's not just us.
Yes, we're not just making it all up.
Definitely not.
Darling, when you told her to get out... What did she do?
She didn't go straight away, unfortunately, and there's not much you can do about it. But eventually she did. So what we do is we actually tell them to go to the light.
Right.
Follow the light. There's a relative over there waiting for them, and she moved on. But the other interesting thing is a lot of people do smell things. You were just mentioning about the roses.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially from 19th century, women didn't bathe very often.
So
what they would do is cover themselves with lavender and rose. So they're the most common smells that we have reportings of. Especially
sure it's
late
not
at the night.
Nana leaving her old.
Her old what, Jenny?
Yardley. Her Yardley soap's
out. Oh, the Yardley soap.
Nana's got Yardley
on
again.
Soap on a rope.
Because you know sometimes they're a bit liberal with the old Yardley.
Well, if she smells of urine mixed with BO, mixed with lavender, that's a lot of the smells that come through to us. But also the London thing you were talking about. I actually used to live in London and investigate ghosts as well.
Yep.
A lot of London's built on plague pits. Literally, they had so many dead bodies, they just pile them up. So you get these artificial hills in the middle of the city, which are actually hills of bodies.
Oh, how sad.
Well, I was going to talk a little bit later about the Tower of London. Of course, that's supposed to be the most haunted, you know, building in England. Yes, Brett.
But, well, I was actually...
Tonight,
no, darling, I was actually just saying, I think Jackie might want to stick around for a little bit. We've got a bit of a...
I think we should have a stick around, isn't it? I know. Right?
Definitely.
That would be good. But we've got a little bit of Taste of Honey.
Mm.
Not roses, Taste of Honey
taste
with
of honey.
A bit of an old boogie woogie.
You're on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You're catching up with Dolly and Brett, and we on Joy 94.9, and we've got a fabulous guest, Jackie, from Lantern Ghost Tours. Jackie, you were just telling us in the community service announcement about some famous Melbourne landmarks which are haunted, like the Vic Market. I'm a little bit scared now, so I can't get my fruit and veg now because I might have a spirit that comes along with me. Tell us a little bit more about that.
I would be very careful if I was you. I think the bad smells aren't just the rotting flesh and vegetables. It could be the rotting fruit, exactly. No, it could actually be the bodies buried underneath. That was an original cemetery.
Wow.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm. And the cemeteries fascinate me because we were just chatting about this, but basically 19th century, you know, medical science was pretty basic. I'd feel your pulse. I'd think, right, he's dead, you know? And then by law, luckily, would have to hold awake. So you'd lie there in my lounge room, popped on my dining table, surrounded by flowers. Mm. Might sound nice, but it wasn't. Yeah, it was to cover the smell of decay.
Yeah.
And people would basically hold a vigil for a week in case you woke up.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes that actually happened. But if you didn't wake up, it wasn't the end. You might actually be buried.
Yeah.
And sadly, when we excavated coffins from Melbourne and also Williamstown cemeteries, we found a small percentage actually had scratch marks from the inside.
Oh,
are you sure that's not a bit of an urban myth, sweetheart?
No, it's
Have you
totally
seen the scratch
true.
Marks, really?
I've seen them. Well, no, I haven't actually. You're right, you've caught me out there. No, but
you've ruined a good story, Dolly.
They didn't ring your little bell, darling, that apparently the little, you know.
Jackie because I know that you and Jamie weren't convinced last week when I said about the graveyard shift was about people watching graves to make sure people were actually alive or dead. And if that little bell rung, someone was still underground waiting to...
Anita Ward rang.
It was sophisticated technology. It really was. I'd have a rope going down into the ground tied up to your big toes. If you woke up, you'd roll over. Bell would ring. Someone hopefully would hear it. They'd dig you out.
Yeah.
And that's where the saying comes from, saved by the bell.
I've got a second one.
I'm going to show off now. I don't know if you can guess this one, but it's dead ringer.
A dead ringer? Is it a ring around the toe, like, or was it on the ring finger?
The dead person ringing the bell, or however you want.
Dead ringer.
So basically then hopefully someone would dig you out, which sounds great, but it wasn't, because you see, seeker divers were in short supply 19th century. So sometimes the body snatchers were waiting. They'd hit you over the head and sell your body nice and fresh to the surgeons to experiment on.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, really?
Down at George Parade, just around from here, Dolly. So maybe it's not a teller looking at you. Maybe it's actually one of the cadavers or the surgeons.
Oh, my goodness. Again, I'm very happy that we live in 2013.
Sightings, darling. So there's lots of old Melbourne. Well, Melbourne's got a lot of old buildings, hasn't it, darling? So we were just reading before the Methodist Ladies College. Do you know about that one?
Oh, no, you can teach me a little bit.
Well, if you don't know anything about it, I'm not going to talk about it. Princess Theatre.
Oh, yes, my favourite ghost haunts that place.
Yes.
You may have noticed there's a bar there called Federici's Bar.
Yes.
And Federici was a very famous opera singer, and he started life as Frederick Baker, which, you know, you're never going to make it as an opera singer called Frederick Baker.
No.
So he reinvented himself, said, I'm Federici, and he used to perform all the time. And legend has it, he was performing at the Princess Theatre in Faust, and he was playing the role of the devil. And in the last scene, he was going into the trapdoors of hell, you know, smoke was coming out, he was covered in a red cloak, and the audience all applauded. But as he fell down the trapdoor, he actually had a massive heart attack and died.
Oh my God, what a method actor.
Exactly. But wait, there's more.
Yes. Oh
no
my goodness.
State knives, but there is more. Basically, the director was waiting for everyone to come off stage. They did their bows and he said, guys, you might have noticed that Federici wasn't bound with you. And they said, but he was. He was at the front after he had died.
Wow.
And he's still seen today.
Is he?
Uh-huh. They even save a seat for Federici.
In costume?
They
or
save a
just,
seat for Federici.
Like his...
Mm-hmm. He's seen in costume, and a lot of the caretakers and the cleaners I've spoken to have said that he likes to hug and caress them while they're cleaning and vacuuming.
Well, a typical Italian. Likes the females.
Well, yes.
The strangest thing is Federici actually foretold his death. On the night of the performance, he said, tonight I'll give my finest performance, yet it will kill me. And it did.
Oh, my God.
Is that a fact?
Mm-hmm.
Really? That's a dead ring of fact.
That's a dead ring of fact. It's a fact.
Darling, have you ever had any other 5-year-olds come up to you? Have you had any spooky other, you know... Yes,
I've had quite a few, actually. We've got two ladies of the night in Williamstown.
Ladies of the night?
Yes, we call them the Lavender Ladies. They used to cover themselves with lavender perfume, much like your friend you were talking about before, your grandma. And basically, I was running a tour one night, and all of a sudden, two people were pushed hard against a wall, opposite sides of the wall, like something had pushed them. And I said to the man, are you okay? And he said, I'm fine. It felt like something was caressing me. It actually grabbed and rubbed my thigh.
Two of your tour were flung against the wall.
Yes, that's right.
Given a body search.
Yes, pretty much. Well, it was two different experiences. The gentleman said it was quite nice.
Yes.
But the lady said to me it was horrible. It's like someone was trying to attack her. And I said, well, that makes sense. The ladies of the night didn't like her being there, but they liked him being there.
They might have thought she was competition.
Exactly.
Oh, Lordy.
But I've actually seen these two ladies. Mm. I've communicated with them. Yeah. I have basic medium skills. I'm not as strong as some of the people we work with, but we picked up on the names Rosalyn and Annabelle, and we researched them, and one of them died of a workplace injury, I guess you'd say, syphilis. Oh. And and the other one was actually thrown out of a window by
another workplace injury.
Yeah, exactly. So they're still haunting the building, trying to attract passerbys.
Which building is this?
Oh, this is the Titanic Theatre Restaurant.
Oh, that does look like a, yes, like a death trap, doesn't it?
Oh, it's a fantastic place. Is it? Yeah, it used to be an old pub. And the current owner, Andrew, fantastic man, he's actually converted it into a lovely Titanic, tribute to the Titanic. You've got steerage, you've got first class. It's a great night out.
Do people go there, do they?
Oh, they do. A lot of people do.
Do they? Oh, I thought it closed. It's still open.
No, it's reopened. New management. My God. And yeah, it's fantastic. So Andrew is running it now. David's taken over.
But he has ghost tours there too. No.
Oh, but it is haunted. He said to me that David said recently he jumped into bed one night and he felt something or someone crawl into bed with him.
Oh, that's not good, is it, darling? No, that's not good.
Now, obviously, you hear stories from the 19th century and about, you know, when the Victoria markets had, as we were talking about before, and the ladies of the night in Williamstown. But what about more recent ghosts, like something from the 1950s or the 70s, or even, do you know, like, do you get...
Ned Kelly. Ned Kelly at the Melbourne jail.
No, but like... I can't, you know what I mean? Like, because spirits don't just say, well, we're only going to come out because we're from the 19th century. They must be from different times.
Oh, there are a lot of modern ones. Yes. We don't talk about a lot of the modern ones just because, relatives are still living, et cetera. Okay. A little bit too close to home. But we do have at Seaworks in Williamstown.
Yeah.
It's old shipbuilding yards. Yeah. And we've actually seen a couple of men walking around there. And we've also seen a man, it looks like he's hanging himself. It's really horrible. It's like a residual energy. He climbs up and hangs himself. A lot of people have seen that. And that was quite a recent spirit. We found out he was quite depressed, lost his wife and his child and took his own life in the old buildings.
Oh, how sad.
It is very sad.
But if someone's a little bit concerned, because you talked about before having the young girl in your house and you didn't know who she was, and then you realised it was someone from the past and you asked her politely to go. I mean, how successful are people to actually say, look, this is my house now, what do you need from me? Like, you know how you always hear about people burning candles and incense and all that sort of thing and lifting the spirits. I mean, do you have any recommendations if people would like to sort of have a spirit-free home?
Well, there's a lot of different theories. Yeah. I work with a lot of different mediums, but personally for me, I just ask them to leave. I cleanse the house, burn candles and incense, fresh-cut flowers. A lot of people believe you should also cover any mirrors in the house so the spirits don't get trapped and confused and they can actually go on to the next level.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing, I guess, is not to try and keep them there. We actually find with a lot of recent reportings of hauntings, the spirits are haunting the houses because the loved ones who are living can't let them go. And they're just hanging around to try and make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
So really the living need to take responsibility and say, it's okay, you can go, I'm fine.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a bit sad, isn't it, darling? Hey?
It is.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, you're true.
And I had Corky in my house, darling.
Corky?
Her name was Corky, yeah. And she died... She died in the bed, and the milk was left out for a couple of days, and that's how they knew that Corky was dead in a house that I had in Queensland. And she was seen a couple of times by different people, Corky, but I never saw Corky, darling.
How old, when did Corky die? Like decades before you moved into the house
or
recently?
No, it was only about, 10 years before I owned the house. Yes,
wow.
She was an elderly lady.
Yeah.
And she was nicknamed Corky. But I did have the stereo come on, and this might be this energy thing that we're talking about. The stereo did come on at about 3 o'clock in the morning on a country radio station. So maybe Corky was a bit fond of the country music.
She likes Slim Dusty.
What do you think, darling?
Do you know the symbolism of 3 a.m.?
Yes. No.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Do you tell?
Most activity occurs around 3 a.m. in the morning.
Oh.
It's to do with the atmospheric pressure of the earth.
Yeah.
The earth's gravitational pull. But there seems to be more activity between 2 and 3 in the morning than any other time of day.
Oh my goodness.
So it was Corky.
It was definitely Corky.
Chuck it on the stereo. She didn't like what I was playing at the time.
Well, Yes, well, it happens sometimes, doesn't it? Jackie, I want to say a big thank you for coming in. And obviously, for anyone who is interested in learning a little bit more about what they do, please go to lanternghosttours.com. That's one word.
So we're just about run out of time.
I know, we're running out of time and we've got to come back. Thanks again. It's so nice having you.
Thank you so much, Jackie.
Thank you so much. Let me know how you go with that teller of yours.
Absolutely. And you're on listening to Catching Up on Joy 94.9.
More of your favourite shows.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, darling, we've run out of time on Catching Up on Joy 94.9 with Dolly and Brett. Thank you so much to the beautiful Jackie. Wasn't she fantastic?
She was
what
fantastic.
A storyteller she is.
I love having this on Catching Up on Spooky because yes. It's normally because the fabulous Sci-Fi, Sonia yes. and Sci-Fi and Scream are coming up at 10 o'clock.
And they're going to keep talking spooky, aren't they?
They are going to keep talking spooky, but I love that we got to explore the spirits.
And I love
tonight.
The fact I've got someone in the studio besides you, darling.
I know. It was looking nice having a guest.
Oh, I feel quite happy that someone's listening to us, darling.
Darling, we've covered so much tonight, but
yes,
we have one final song to play. Tell us a little bit about this fabulous song by the Marvelettes.
Well, the Marvelettes, darling, were a bit of a Motown all-girl group that
yes.
came out. And this song in particular came out in 1964. He was really saying something. It has been redone by Bananarama,
yes.
hasn't it, darling? But it was originally done by the Marvelettes, but this is the Marvelettes version.
Oh, this is fabulous. Dolly, it's been another great show.
It's been
show.
A pleasure in a spooky sort of a way.
Jamie's back next week.
Lovely. We'll see you then.
We'll see you kids then. You're on Joy 94.9.
Bye.
Joy 94.9.
We haven't got any more, you see. I thought we started the...
We'll start at the top again. Leave it recording. Leave it recording.
Oh,
honestly,
God.
Leave it recording.
Can I say, this is champagne comedy at its best.
You reckon?
Just leave it recording.
Jamie from the top.
Australia's best titbits. Without the tits. Catching up on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.